You're listening to the Utah Man Podcast, bringing you the latest news and analysis for your Utah Utes. Now, your hosts, Cameron, Ryan, and Scott.
Welcome on into the Utah Man Podcast. On this episode, the basketball team picks up a big commit out of the transfer portal, and we look ahead to the spring roster of the quarterbacks and running backs for the Utes. I'm Cameron, and we got Ryan.
What's up, Ute Nation?
And Scott.
How we doing, guys?
I'm doing well. I didn't fill out a bracket for March Madness. Probably the first time I haven't done it in years. And so I just kind of have been sitting back and enjoying this Final Four and this championship game. Are you guys' brackets busted?
I did not fill out a bracket either.
Oh, that makes three of us. That's kind of sad that none of us. This literally is the first year since I was a kid that I haven't done it. And it was just crazy. I left town and things were crazy and I just never got around to doing it.
Yeah.
And when Utah's so awful and not going to the dance, what's the point?
We're so boring. All right. Before we jump into it, you can always listen to us, download it on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and we're just a podcast. We are there. So kind of hitting news, college basketball, here we go. Utes pick up a big commit. Mike Sanders Jr. out of the transfer portal from Cincinnati. Point guard, 6 feet even, 185 pounds. Had offers. BYU, Miami, UNLV. I think a pretty good recruit, a pretty good get for Utes, because they did need a point guard. He has experience playing at Cincinnati, but I don't think this is something that's gonna take the team to the next level, right? But I think it's definitely something that they need to do.
That's funny, Cam.
Why is that funny?
We would need Moses to come down, part of the Red Sea, and funnel us with 5-star recruits to make it. It's a step in the right direction, but still nothing on the assistant coaching position. That's still out there. Who knows what's going to happen with that? But I guess the basketball program will take any type of success it can get at this point. Any good news is good news.
It's good news.
I'm kind of surprised that there's no news on the coaching front. It was a week ago tonight. We were sitting here talking about how important it was that he goes and gets Burgess, and nothing.
Yeah, it is weird. And the only thing I can really, and as we've been talking about over the last week, the only thing I can kind of chalk it up to is, kind of hitting the recruiting trails extremely hard. And, Craig Smith flew out to Indiana to meet with Mike Sanders Jr. like right hours before the dead period started. And so that's the only thing I can think of as far as why there hasn't been any movement there, is just trying to get those last minute recruits and those last minute visits in. But it is a little disheartening, guys, to be honest with you. I mean, I know, all three of us want Burgess, and I think that'd be a great pickup for something that.
And Smith should want him too.
Exactly. But it's something the program needs, something the fan base needs, something the recruiting needs. But it's crazy that nothing has been floating around. I think, Scott, you mentioned this last week. No names are even in the rumor mill right now.
Dude, whether it's Burgess or anybody else,
they're keeping it pretty quiet. And my theory on this is it is being slowed down and complicated because our grubby athletic director is micromanaging our coach.
I 100% believe that.
By saying that, what do you think you think he doesn't want Burgess on the staff? Or you think he's just saying, go look elsewhere, make sure you've done your due diligence.
I don't know. But he's been interviewed twice now in the span of a year. And things are awfully slow on this decision. And a lot of talk out there. You hear some things that he's pretty involved. Harlan may be too much involved in staffing. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I guess we can just hold out hope that Burgess still becomes a Ute here.
So going back to this pickup by Sanders Jr., I agree with you guys. I don't think this is going to take Utah into the NCAA tournament by any means. But I do think it does show progress within the program. Because if you guys remember last season in the offseason, with Craig Smith kind of coming in late in the game on recruits, he didn't get a lot of the guys that he went after when he first came to Utah, right? And so I think that this shows that he is making progress in that step. That even though this maybe wasn't a very highly coveted transfer, I mean, he still beat out, you know, BYU, Miami, UNLV, Nevada, teams that have had more recent success. I mean, Miami had a good little run here in the NCAA tournament. And so the fact that Craig Smith is doing that, I think, is a step in the right direction. But we will see as the offseason continues on what happens with that staff and when that roster. So speaking of Mark Harlan, an email was sent out to Crimson Club members about price increase on the Crimson Club donations. Kind of a sticker shock, guys. Someone hungry?
That was my stomach. You heard that? This microphone is unbelievable.
Ryan's just a distraction tonight.
We're having some good outtakes, I'll tell you what.
Holy smokes.
So, yeah.
You ruffled Cam's feathers.
Sticker shock, Cam. Sticker shock.
Sticker shock. I threw up a poll on Twitter, and you know how official that is. I asked, you know, people what you're feeling about the Crimson Club annual membership increase. I had no biggie, annoying but understanding, and then the swearing emojis, and the swearing emojis is leading by 60%.
If you read the email, more money that you're giving, that we all are giving as season ticket holders, is more of that is now being given to the Crimson Club versus, you know, just normal funds, essentially, than it has been in years past. And my take is they're trying to funnel more money to NIL because they have no other program set up to pay these dudes. So they're just going to charge us all more.
I guess I'm not necessarily surprised.
I'm just coming in with conspiracy theories all day today.
Hey, I'm here for it.
Harlan is taking full advantage of the trip to the Rose Bowl and just riding the coattails. And
inflation.
And inflation and the hype behind it. And people want to come watch this team. And with Cam Risen returning and Tavion Thomas and some other guys, it's going to be a hot ticket for sure.
Yeah. I mean, and I get it to a point that, you know, as Utah fans, we want this program to be up there, right? And that takes money, and it takes upgrades to facilities, to special coaching, to the special trainers, to the meals, all that stuff. So I get it, but I don't like it, to be honest with you.
I don't think anybody, you know, out of their own budget likes paying more. But at the same time, to your point, Cam, right? Utah is turning into a big time program, especially here in the Pac-12, and that takes a lot of resources to continue that and to maintain that and to even grow on top of that. And you know, more money is always going to be required.
It's a good problem to have, right? I mean, to have a great program to build that program up. At least the more money we're paying into it, it's, I guess we're getting a good return on our investment. It could be worse. We, you know, Utah could be barely bowl eligible or not going bowling at all. So it, like we said, when you're a big time program like that, it kind of comes with that territory. All right. So, you know, we're going to get into the spring roster, and we're going to start with quarterbacks and running backs. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll hit up the quarterbacks.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
All right, so we are back. Utah's in the middle of spring ball. This is exciting, guys. We're breaking down the roster. I love this time of year when we do this. You know, we're talking about the guys from top to bottom in each position. We're kicking things off with the quarterback room. And I love that this is going to be the first offseason for Cam Rising where he is healthy. He's not competing for a job. And I think that is just going to help him have a better spring than he's had in years past. I think just because of those types of pressures aren't on him right now.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think I'm excited that we do not have a quarterback battle in spring or in fall camp, that it is settled. No questions asked. You've got a clear starter. And I think that's going to help the backup situation. And to your point, Cam, that mindset with Cam Rising, he's just going to be able to focus on getting better. You know, he's made some comments here in the spring of things he's wanting to improve in, being more consistent and being more accurate with some of his balls. And I mean, ultimately at the end of the day, he played at such a high level last year. He's first team all Pac-12 at the quarterback position. And I think you're going to see even more growth in him. Again, he wasn't the starter until week three last year. So I just think his mindset, a full offseason, knowing he's the guy, just continue to build on that. Man, I am so excited for this year with Cam Rising, what he has the ability to accomplish. But then, I mean, just what's behind him is ridiculous. What we have in that quarterback room is, I mean, we've never experienced that in the history of Utah football.
No, we haven't. But I'm gonna play devil's advocate, though, here. Because in all honesty, do we really think that Jaquindon Jackson's going to stay in the quarterback room?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I do.
I know he wants to, but look at the guys that are coming into the program. And he started the year last year as second string. By the end of the season, he was beat out by a walk-on.
Yeah, and we don't know all the details to that. But here's the thing in his favor. He's still young. I mean, and with his size at 6'2", 225, and he's got an absolute cannon of an arm. Now, again, being big and having a big arm does not mean you're a great quarterback. But from
Tommy
what you're,
Grady.
Yeah, but what you're seeing out of just comments that you're seeing out of spring so far is Whittingham has gone out of his way multiple times to praise him and talk about his improvement as a quarterback. So I think more time he's had in the program, and let's not forget last year, he basically two of his good to best friends died. You know, that's going to do something to you. I mean, just mentally, I mean, he's going through that healing process. And again, Does that mean he wins the backup job? I don't know. Or ultimately what his future is. But I would not be surprised if he does win it, because I think I'm kind of rooting for him to get that number two spot.
Yeah. And I think one thing, you know, Cam Rising talked about this with Jackson, is he's made the shift mentally in this program as far as the playbook. And I think before he was kind of trying to rely on his skill sets, on his talent 100%. And over the course of, you know, the season and leading up to spring ball, what we're hearing is that he's really dialed in on the playbook, getting it down more mentally rather than physically. And I think that will help pay dividends for it. And to echo your point, Scott, you know, Aaron Lowe was his best friend. Aaron Lowe and Ty Jordan were the reason why he came to Utah. And, you know, to take a young kid in Jaquindon Jackson and move him to a new state, new surrounding, a new school, and your two best friends of why you came here are no longer here, that's going to take a toll on anybody. And so I think, I don't know, just things that we're hearing, I wouldn't be surprised if he's number two. And I'm not taking away anything away from Brayson Barnes, because that dude came in the Rose Bowl when Utah needed to make a play, and he drove down and scored a touchdown against Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. You can never take that away from him. And so I do like that it is going to push Jackson in that second spot. But I also think Utah, they need to use him more this season. You know, only 6 carries last year, didn't really throw the ball. If they're going to bring him in on those packages, whether he's second string or third string, whatever, but those packages, they've got to let him throw when he's in there.
Well, but the good thing about how last year transpired is he's still a freshman. So he's got a ton of eligibility left in the program. And I mean, it's just going through, I mean, you look across the board right now, obviously Cam Rising's your starter. And more than likely, unless something crazy happens the rest of spring or something in fall camp, your backup is going to be either Jaquindon Jackson or Brayson Barnes. But behind that, you've got a young freshman in Brandon Rose, highly recruited kid out of California. You've got Nate Johnson from California, from the Fresno area, who is, he'll probably be one of the fastest players in college football next year. Track star, super athletic. And then obviously we talked about Mac Howard last podcast. So the room is full. And the good thing about that is when you have that much talent, these guys are going to push each other. And so if Brayson Barnes is not getting the job done, if Jaquindon Jackson's not getting the job done, you're not at that point relying on a walk-on to potentially earn that second string spot. You've got so much depth and so much talent. It's just going to push these guys to just battle. And ultimately, you know, that cream's going to rise to the top. And in the process, yeah, you're going to lose some guys to the transfer portal. But I'll tell you, we've got plenty of options at that quarterback spot right now. And that room is loaded.
You've never been able to say that at Utah. It's, if you've had a quarterback, it's the starter, and you hope he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it wasn't even that long ago. A few years ago, our recruiting philosophy was like, man, maybe we can land a stud quarterback recruit every 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, no, it was they would hope to get a 3-star guy every 3 years is really what they are aiming to do.
And now, I mean, you're bringing in 4-star after 4-star after 4-star. And in some cases, 2 a year. And so, obviously, that's what you have to do. That's what all the big-time programs, even, you know, most of the programs in the Pac-12, they've got a lot of talent at that position, and you need it, right, in case of injuries. Cam Rising, man, knock on wood. Hopefully, he can stay healthy and have a good year. But dude likes to run, and he doesn't like to slide. And one crazy hit, and then you are relying on a backup, and you have to have some depth. My only concern is you just don't have a lot of experience behind. You've got a lot of talent and a lot of, guys that could come in and grow into being something special, but not a lot of experience right now at the position.
And 100% agree with that. And I think that's kind of why I would kind of like when they bring that package in for Jackson to let him throw it, not only to keep the defense honest, so they know he's not going to run it every single time, but also kind of give him those in-game reps for those special packages that they bring in. And again, it's Cam Rising's show, and I am so excited to see Thick Boy back out on the field as soon as possible when the season starts.
All right, before we jump off of this, does Cam Rising make his way into the Heisman race this year?
Oh, I don't think so.
Depends on the offense. Really? Depends on the offense they run. I mean,
yeah.
If they become a...
What do you mean the offense that they run? Well, I mean, we just saw the offense they ran. It was the best offense of the Pac-12. It was one of the highest scoring offenses in the country.
To be a Heisman candidate as a quarterback, you got to throw the ball a ton.
Yeah, you got to.
And we're 250. We're 250-50. I mean, we're going to be utilizing the running backs because they're so good and so deep. And
I don't know. Offense, you have to like lead the country in yardage, or be in like top five. In all-purpose yards to even be in that discussion. And I'm not saying Cam Rising isn't deserving.
But look, when Alex Smith was a finalist, look how, I mean, he was, we did have a decent running game, but not like we do now. I mean, it was his ability to run the ball himself.
He essentially lost out to two dudes at USC. We don't have to worry about that. You know, honestly, yes, we run the ball a lot. But last year was not completely 50-50. Utah threw the ball quite a bit last year. And now you've got a guy that has Kyle Whittingham and Andy Ludwig's full confidence to go out and throw the ball, to make big plays in the passing game. He's proven himself. And when you take it even beyond what the coaches think of him and what they're going to allow him to do, he's coming in where some people are already talking about him as a first-round pick next year. He has gotten so much pub for what he did for Utah last year, and now he gets to build off of that. So he's coming into this season with already a lot of pub and a lot of momentum behind him from national media talking about, you know, the type of quarterback he is and what he can do. Now, is he going to be a Heisman favorite? No, there's not a chance he's going to be a favorite. But let's also remember all the Heisman favorites usually flame out as the season goes on. And it's guys that you don't necessarily anticipate that are jumping up and getting that recognition come into the year. And I think Cam is a prime candidate for that. I'm not saying he's going to win the thing, But I think with his ability and with what Utah did last year, I think he's got a heck of a chance to make it to New York next year.
Scott, I'm not saying that he's not deserving of it. I just think to be in those discussions, you kind of have to be, like I said, in the top five in the country in all yards. And I mean, let's be honest. Players at Utah, players in the Pac-12 already have an uphill battle in that front because the media darlings of Oklahoma, Texas, Michigan, Ohio State, they're always going to give them the benefit of the doubt when it comes to those postseason awards.
Oh, for sure. But I'm telling you, what Cam did last year, mark my word, he's going to be in the running for it. I guarantee it. If he stays healthy, he will be in the running.
If it came down to theme songs, he's got it. And I hope they do this again next season.
Oh, they will.
Oh, they absolutely should.
They have to.
And when he wins the Heisman, they'll be playing this in the background.
Hey, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I would love it. I would absolutely love it.
Hey, you know what? And if he makes it to New York, I will unveil his statue
next to Kyle's.
next to Kyle's in New York.
Who's got bigger calves?
Oh, Kyle, but Thick Boy's got he's got him in the thigh region.
Well, if anyone's going to come out of nowhere and win it, it's him.
All right, we're up against it. We come back. Let's hit the running backs. I think just like the quarterback situation where we know the starter in the running back room, we know it's going to be the Tevion Thomas show, and rightfully so. But there are a group of studs that I think any one of them can get those extra carries. You know, that number two featured back, you know, Micah Bernard, Chris Curry, the Phenon, and Jalen Glover. And don't forget Ricky Parks.
Dude, you think Chris Curry's going to get any run? Seriously?
No, he's not.
He might.
He couldn't even get run last year.
He might.
I think he's going to be a phenomenal special teams player this year. And unless Sharif Shah's coaching special teams again.
Okay, so we know it's the Tevion Thomas show, and we'll definitely get into that. And Scott, your breakout player last year, rightfully so, and Tevion Thomas. But before we get into him and his game, who are you guys expecting then to get those number two reps? Are you going with Bernard?
Oh, I mean, just basing off what you're hearing out of spring ball so far, and I know it's early and we're not hearing a lot, but there is so much coming out right now about Jalen Glover and his hype, and he's living up to the hype. You've got
his self-induced hype.
Oh yeah, thanks Tribune. I mean, you've got teammates who are talking about him in the media. You've got Kyle Whittingham raving about him. And for a dude who probably should still be in high school to be getting that much attention this early in spring, that is a very good sign, you fans.
I don't know who's going to get second string minutes. I mean, there's a long time between now and first part of September, but I mean, based on the talk, he could definitely do it. But you can't count out Bernard. I mean, that dude is he's a stud, and he's proved it coming out of the back. He's got, you know, in passing routes and running. He's just a hard worker, and like, nobody's going to outwork him. He might get someone up that's got more talent, but he's not going to get outworked.
I would love to see Bernard have a bigger role in the offense this year, right? He started out with a bang last year, was great in that BYU game, and then got injured, kind of fell off, and you really didn't see him come on until late again in the season. But the guy, he's got breakaway speed. He's great catching the ball out of the backfield. And especially when you compare a Tevion Thomas and a Jalen Glover, they're very similar, right? They're both big bodied, have good speed, but they're not going to necessarily run away from dudes. They have a place and they're going to be very good. And they're going to be a beautiful 1-2 punch, especially in goal line, in the red zone. But there's still a place for Micah Bernard in this offense because of that speed, the change of pace that he brings to the table. So I hope he has a bigger role this year, whether that means he is the number two back or if he's still in that number three spot, I don't know. But I just think he's so dynamic that you've got to use him, especially because he's just so different from those other two.
I think for me, for Bernard, I mean, really look what he did in that Rose Bowl game. Played both sides of the field. He had that beautiful touchdown catch.
Could you say he played both sides of the field? He was out on the field.
Jeez.
Just kidding, Bernard.
I think for Makai, I agree. I would love to see him more roles in this offense. And really, I think he's one of the better pass blockers in that running back room, and he probably has the best hands out of that group. And so with that, that's just too much talent, I think, to have on the sidelines. And so I'd love Ludwig to be able to incorporate him somehow. But we all know it's the Tavion Thomas show. That guy, now we want to talk about studs. He is the stud in that running back room.
Yeah, and let's just hope he goes to class and he takes care of his offseason business. And I mean that sincerely, right? You know, he came back for this year, and so it's important that he's going to be able to be on the field. And I mean, ultimately, the dude is talented. I mean, what he did last year was absolutely unreal. So yeah, he's going to be the focal point, and I'm excited to see where this goes. I mean, that running back room is absolutely so stacked right now. Ricky Parks, do you guys remember Ricky Parks?
Yeah, that's what that's one of the names I said at the beginning of this segment. Is here's a guy that we haven't seen, and we're throwing all these other names, and I'm just saying, don't forget about Ricky Parks.
Ricky Parks was an absolute huge recruit when we got him, and I think he's kind of been the forgotten man because, you know, his redshirt year, he hasn't gotten any reps. You literally have not seen anything from him. But he's a guy, I don't know if he's going to ultimately last here with so much depth that we have. You know, he's probably a prime candidate to say, look, dude, I was a big recruit. If I can't see the field here, you know, he's probably going to look for opportunities elsewhere. But I'm interested to see between spring and fall of this year, can he do enough to maybe offset a Jalen Glover? To basically force the coaches to give him some reps early on in the season, because he's a guy that, you know, I thought was, when we got him, was the future of the program. And unfortunately, we've just continued to recruit and recruit and maybe even recruit over him, which tells you what we've been doing at the running back position. But I'm interested to see if he can get a shot essentially to get some reps early.
You know, one thing we hadn't, as deep as it is, one thing we didn't really discuss is, you know, Kyle McDonald spent the last few years really raising the bar of the running back room. And now he's moved on and we've got Quinton Ganther, the former Ute, coaching these guys up. So it'll be interesting to see what he brings to the table.
Well, I think that's a great point, Ryan, because I think, you know, McDonald's been killing it on the recruiting trail. And we talk about all these guys in Tavion Thomas, Makai Bernard, Jalen Glover, Ricky Parks, those were all brought in as part under McDonald. And so it will be interesting to kind of see where this locker, where this running back room goes moving forward under a new coach. However, I think the one benefit is that Utah has been pumping out running backs like no other university around here, right? And it's year after year, there seems to be a stud running back that comes out of Utah. And a lot of times it's guys that are a little bit under the radar at the beginning of the year. I mean, Tavion Thomas, last year, he was maybe third string when the season kicked off, because you had Pledger ahead of him, you had Curry ahead of him, and you had Bernard. And so I kind of think that's the mantra of this running back room, is who's that diamond in the rough that maybe we don't know yet, and obviously it's the Tavion Thomas show, but maybe that is a Ricky Parks. Maybe that is a Jalen Glover down the road. So it'll be exciting to see what Quinton Ganther does do with that running back room.
And I'll tell you, Ganther slid into an amazing situation with what Kyle McDonald was able to bring in. I mean, the cupboard is not bare. So he gets to, from day one, just basically choose his talent. And pretty good situation. But again, to be this loaded, I know we're focusing on the running backs and the quarterbacks position, but to be this loaded in both those positions, have a ton of reps and starters returning at the offensive line, which are going to be critical to both these positions. I'm telling you, this offense has a chance. I think this is my early prediction. This will be the best offense we have seen Utah have since joining the Pac-12.
All right, so that'll do it for our thoughts on the current quarterback room and the running back group. And what Scott said, I wouldn't be surprised if there maybe is some changes after spring and before fall camp. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye on those types of things. Ryan, where can people find you on Twitter?
@DrumandFeather. Drum, the letter M, Feather.
And Scott.
Yeah, you can find me at UteMan_forever.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at UtahManPodcast, at our home, UtahManPodcast.com. And again, you can subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere listening to a podcast. We are there. Until next time, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Go Utes. We'll be till I die, kayay.
We're good. Let's cut it.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are their own and are no way affiliated with the University of Utah.
Ryan, you know you have a mute button on your Zoom.
I thought I've hit mute. You can hear that?
He's such an old man.
There's a mute on the right here, and I switched it.
Nope, we can
still hear. Great, now you got to start over. I ruined it.
We can
ruined everything.